continuing with Megillat Rut, we had a broad introduction. Now we begin the Megillah. So, the person who anointed David was the prophet Shmuel. We know Shmuel, right? We've been studying the book of Shmuel. And after Shmuel anointed David, he saw with prophetic vision that David was the future of the Jewish people. And so he wanted to write down a Megillah that would recount the sources of who David came from. He wanted us to know that David came from Eglon, that David came from a people whose roots seem vile. He wanted us to know that David specifically came from Moab. You think incest? What good can come of it? Mashiach can come of it. Obviously, a person should rather die than do what happened in that cave, right? It's Yarik Val Yavar. A person has to be willing to give up their life rather than do what Lot did. However, Lot was drunk and they thought that the world was destroyed. They thought they didn't have a choice. So, Shmuel writes the book of Shoftim so that we know where David came from. Eglon does what's right. He stands up in the honor of Hashem's name. And so Eglon merits that his daughter, his daughter or granddaughter, is the great Ruth. And we begin. Vayehi, you want me to read with the tune? Yes? Okay. Gabriel, we said that this Megillah has every verse beginning with the letter Vav except for 8. You'll notice that as we go along. 8 verses do not begin with the letter Vav. Everything else does. Vayehi Mimei Shifot HaShofitim. It was at the time that people were judging their judges and they found them lacking. There was a famine in the land of Israel. The most important man who should have been the father of the throne, the man who was the leader of the time, he left the land of Israel. Mi beit lechem Yehuda. He left the best place in Israel, Beit Lechem, in the tribe of Yehuda. He left his status as being the source of food. People would come to his house. His house was Beit Lechem. His house was the source of bread for the tribe of Judea. He left. And the Talmud tells us that if there's one thing that people can't stand, it is Parnas Mitga'e Ala Tzibur Bechinam. The Talmud says there are 4 things people can't stand. One of them is when we have a leader who is the leader and everyone honors him, but when the going gets tough, he runs. People can't stand them. And Elimelech makes the pivotal error. Elimelech thinks if I'll retain my wealth, I will be the king of Israel. And the Megillah tells us it's the other way around. The person who is he ignores his wealth. And he asks himself, what does Hashem want me to do? And he's willing to enter the most destitute state as Ruth does. That's the person who is willing to be kind and truthful because it's right, irrespective of what it will cost him. That's the person who becomes the source of kingdom of Israel. So the man, Elimelech, goes from Beit Lechem Yehuda, Lagur Bisdei Moav. He wanted to live in the fields of Moab. He said, I'll just be there till the famine ends. In the end, the famine is so terrible, only he will die of hunger. And his sons. No one in Israel will die of hunger. But he who turned his back on the people of Israel and the land of Israel, he will die of hunger. And so, another theme of the book of Ruth is the dedication that we must have to the land of Israel. Who? Ve'ishto u'shnei vanav. They didn't want to leave. but he wanted to leave. So in the middle of the night, he packs up his bags. He says, let's get out of here. The poor are collecting too much. We're giving charity all the time. We're going to lose all our wealth. We're out of here. So they leave. Yes. There was a famine because A, they were lacking in the trade of kindness. B, people were stealing. C, give me 1 second. They were worshiping idols. And it says that idol worship brings famine. And we also see their judges were behaving inappropriately. So we have many descriptions of what was going on wrong in the land of Israel. Lack of kindness we see in Elimelech. I don't know about the people. In Elimelech we see a lack of kindness. V'shem ha'ish Elimelech. The man's name was, kingdom will come to me. Elimelech, kingdom will come to me. V'shem ishto Naomi. His wife's name was Pleasantness. Wherever she'd go, she'd have chariots. No one knew what she looked like. She was so wealthy, she'd always have a bunch of servants all around her. V'shem Shnei Vanav, his two sons who were the leaders of the Jewish people of the time, big Talmidei Chachamim named Yoash and Saraf. The Megillah calls them Machlon. He will be forgiven ultimately because his wife Ruth will marry back into the Jewish people. V'chilion, and wiped out, because he will be wiped out, he will marry Orpah, and his wife will not remarry into the Jewish people, and so his memory will be wiped out. Ephratim, they were people of importance. Mi Beit Lechem Yehuda, they came from Beit Lechem in Judea. They came back to the Moabite fields, because initially they came to the Moabite fields and they saw promiscuity. What's going on in the fields? Girls and boys and who knows what's going on. They said, we can't do that. So they went into the city. They came to the city. They said, there's no good source of water here. We can't live in the city. They went back into the fields. And what happened to them is what happens to so many good Jews who go to Chutz La'aretz thinking, I'm just going for a time, I'm coming back. It doesn't work. They were there. And we will see our Megillah will span over 10 years. They leave Israel, and that's why our Megillah spans more than one judge. They leave Israel, and now they're out in the Moabite fields. Vayamot Elimelech ish Naomi. Elimelech dies. The husband of Naomi. He gets punished because he turned his back on the Jewish people in their time of need. He gets punished because he left the land of Israel. The Tosefta says in Tractate Avodah Zarah, Lo yetze adam lechutz al haaretz, a person should not leave the land of Israel. Rabbi Shimon taught, Elimelech was from the Gdolei Adar. He was from the greatest leaders of the Jewish people at that time. Umipanasei HaTzibur haya, and he was one of the people who took care of the needs of the masses. And why did he die? He and his sons died of hunger because he left the land of Israel. Rabbi Shimon says, it's not because he turned his back on his brethren. You know why he died? Because he left the land of Israel. Vayamot Elimelech Ishnomi. Every year I hit Shavuos and it gives me a shot in the arm to stay in Israel. Mitzvah Hashem till 120. No, it's hard. It's hard. We need to remind ourselves the importance of our being here. We need to remind ourselves the concepts that Chazal taught us about the importance of every Jew living here. It's not easy. It's a... No. that there are hardships. Eretz Yisrael, today we're in a much better place than we used to be. Rabbi Beryl Wine quotes that his father told him that when he came to Israel to learn in the 20s, there was one traffic light in all of Jerusalem on the corner of Jaffa and King George. One traffic light. Today you sit in traffic. Baruch Hashem. Yeah, Rav Listman taught me that. Every time we sit in traffic, Rav Listman says, look at how many Jews came to Israel. Look at how many Jews we have here. Right? Rav Listman taught me that. So, Elimelech dies. Our sages tell us, there's a midrash here. Why does it say Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died? He had many other roles in his life. When a man dies, the person who feels it most is their spouse. It says, "En ha'ish met el ha'ishto." When a man dies, it's as though the only one who feels it is his wife. "Ven ha'isha met el ha'le'bala." And when a woman dies, the one who senses it is only the spouse, only the husband. I had an amazing thing not so long ago. There was a couple who were bitterly married their whole life. They were married over 50 years, and the wife I knew for many years, and the wife always told me, I didn't want to marry him. This was a forced marriage. And she told me this so many times. I never wanted to marry him. And then he died. And when he was lying on his deathbed, she said to me, crying, I went to visit him, and she said to me, how will I live without him? And I didn't want to remind her what she's been saying all these years. Right? All the years, she said, I never wanted to marry him. My parents arranged the marriage. It was a forced marriage. And then she says, how will I live without him? I can't believe he's dying. So that's what Chazal tell us, that when a man dies, to the wife, it's as though no one else feels it, only the wife. Vayamot Elimelech, ish Naomi. Naomi's husband died. The fact that he had other roles, kids recover, everyone recovers. The wife, that's it. She lost her husband. Vatishael hi ushnei vaneha. She and her two sons remained. Go bring up kids without a father. Vayisu lahem. So Chazal say a person should get remarried, but who's she going to remarry? So they married Nashim Moabiot, Moabite women. Our sages say, why did they end up marrying Moabite women? Because as we were traveling into the land of Israel, there were two nations that boycotted us. They said, don't sell them water, don't sell them food. Ammon and Moab. Even though the whole existence of Ammon and Moab is thanks to the Jewish people, thanks to Avraham Avinu, the Moabites turned their back on the Jews. They made a boycott against us. And so our sages said, Elimelech, when he turned his back on the Jewish people, went to the territory of Moab, because that's the Moabite trait, turn your back on other people when they need you. And that's why the sons of Elimelech, who were two giants of Torah, Yoash and Saraf, otherwise known as Machlon and Chilion, they ended up marrying Moabite women. Sheimachat Opa. One's name was turn your back on them. Orpa, from the word Oreth, turn your back. The Sheimashenit Rut. The second one's name was give song in honor of Hashem. Vayeshivu Sham Ke'eso Shanim. Now they settled there. 10 years, and they're losing their wealth, one thing after another. Vayamutu gam shneihem Machlon vechilion. So they married Moabite women. When the father was alive, he wouldn't have let them marry Moabite women. We have two opinions among our sages whether Orpah and Ruth converted when they married Machlon and Chilion. Rambam says, of course they converted. And we have Midrashim that say, Maimonides, Rambam, says, of course they converted. There's no way that they would marry non-Jewish women. The Targum and Rashi, they say that they died. They married non-Jewish women. They did not convert them. But others say they did convert them. That's what the Medrash says. That's what the Rambam says. So why are they called Moabite women if they were converted? They married Moabite women. If they did not convert them, so then why is Boaz so intent on marrying his relative's wife? Right? So we have two opinions. And the best way to understand it is probably the way Tosfos writes, that they were minors, Orpah and Ruth. So Mahlon and Chilion converted them, and then as they grew older, they had a choice whether they wanted to hold on to that conversion or not. In ancient times, people got married very young. Mahlon and Chilion possibly got married young, and Orpah and Ruth. The Medrash tells us Ruth was 40 years old at the end of the Megillah. But Tosfos says, based on the Gemara, that when she marries Boaz at the end of the Megillah, she's 12, which means that they married her as a minor. She was 2, 3, 4, whatever, she was a little girl. And that's why her conversion was in question. She had a choice whether she would do the conversion again as an adult. So they both died. Now they had a choice, and they chose to stay in Chutz Laaretz, and so they died. And that's what Rambam writes. Even though there are scenarios where it's permissible to leave the land of Israel, you should know it's not the way pious people behave. Machlon and Chilion, says the Rambam, were the giants of the day. They were the giants of the Jewish people. Rambam calls them Gdolei Hador. And they left Mipnei Tzara Hagdola. Rambam says, don't think they left because they felt like it. There was a famine. Rambam doesn't go the route of the Medrash that they were wealthy and they wanted to retain their wealth. Rambam says they were hungry. They left for Chutz Laaretz because they were hungry. But other Jews didn't leave to Chutz Laaretz when they were hungry. And that's why Hashem wipes them out, says the Rambam. They died because they left Israel. This is the Rambam in Halacha. This is the Rambam in Ilchot Melachim. Rambam says, you should know that the Halacha says when there's a famine, when things become too dire, you're allowed to leave the land of Israel. However, says the Rambam, I'm warning you, look at what happened to Mahlon and Chilion. That's not the pious way a person should behave. They were giants in Torah. They had good reasons to leave. And they both died because they left the land of Israel. So that's how Rambam rules on this story, Mahlon and Chilion. So the two of them die. Vatisha'er ha'isha mishenei yeladeha umei isha. And so the woman, Naomi, remains destitute. She doesn't have her husband. She doesn't have her kids. She doesn't have her wealth. She is alone. And she is so poor that she realizes that she too might die of hunger now. They died of hunger. She doesn't have the money to give them clothing to bury them in. She doesn't have the money to buy tachrichim. I don't know what you call that in English, the clothing we bury a person in. Shroud, it's called. Thank you. Shrouds she can't buy. Thank you. These are the books you read. These are the words you read in books, and you don't even know how to pronounce. Shroud, it's right. Yeah. So she can't even buy shrouds for them. So, vatakom hi vechaloteha. So she arose, as did her daughters-in-law. Vatashov. Misedei Moav. She returned. She's doing tshuva. She's coming back from the fields of Moav. Ki shamea bisedei Moav. Because she heard from the merchants, or she heard through Ruach HaKodesh. Ki fakat Adonai etamo latet lahem lachem. That Hashem has remembered the merits of his people and given them again food to eat. She doesn't have food. An angel has to come and tell her on Yom Tiv, there's food in Israel. Boaz has davened and now there's food. And so on Yom Tiv, it's Pesach. They should be celebrating the freedom of the Jewish people. They don't have anything to eat. No matzah, no maror, no clothing. They're wearing rags. As they start heading back to the land of Israel, they don't even have shoes on their feet. And that's what the pasuk says in the next pasuk, Vatilachna vaderech. They walked and their feet hit the path because they were walking without shoes. That's how impoverished they were en route back to Israel. Yes?
So here it says, it's talking about, the pasuk says, Hi vechlatea vetakam hi vechlatea hi is root.
Correct. Naomi.
Naomi.
Yeah.
Okay, and her... Oh, okay. Thank you.
So she's walking back. And their two daughters-in-law are exceptional. They are princesses. They could go back to the castle. And they start their journey back with Naomi to the land of Israel. They've converted as minors. And now they're adults. And they're making a choice. And they're walking back with Naomi. Naomi turns to them and says, you know, I owe you the ksuba. You guys, you're supposed to get a certain payment from my kids. When they married you, they were very wealthy. But now you know my state. And they say, keep it, it's okay. We forgive you the money. She says, you know, I don't have money to repay you. You bought the shrouds for my kids. They said, right, we volunteer that. So these two, we see in them something that we can understand a little bit why Mahlon and Chilion would want to marry them. So... they forgo everything she owes them. And they're walking with her. She left. And when a tzaddik leaves, the whole city feels it. She left the place she was there. She left her state of thinking. When a person's in Chutz Laaretz, they have one state of thinking. The second you start approaching Israel, you view the world differently. You've probably experienced this, all of you yourselves. In Israel, you view the world one way. When you're in Chutz Laaretz, you view the world another way. Whether you like it or not. Chutz Laaretz affects even the way we think. Her two daughters-in-law are going with her. Vatelach na vaderech lashuv el eretz Yehuda. And they walked, their feet hit the pavement. In other words, they did not even have shoes. And they are returning to Eretz Yehuda, the land of thanks, the land of monotheism. They are returning to the way of Hashem. Ruth and Orpah want to complete their conversion. Vatomer Naomi lishteich alote aleich nashov naisha leveitima. Naomi turns to her daughters-in-law. She says, why don't you go back? Go back to your mother's house. Go back to your nations. Yas Adonai imachem chesed. Hashem should be kind to you. Kasher asitem imametim imadi. You were kind to me. You were kind to the deceased. You took care of your deceased husbands. Hashem should pay you back for your kindness. Go back. So, Yiten Adonai lachem, Hashem should grant you umtzeena menucha, and you should each find peace. Isha beit isha, every woman in her husband's house. Chazal say a woman only finds peace in her husband's house. A woman who doesn't get married doesn't find peace. But there's an underlying secret here, and we're out of time. So remind me on Thursday. There's a whole book on the concept of building peace in the home, on this concept that we just said. We will summarize it. There's actually 2 minutes. You guys want to go over time? 2 more minutes?
Sure.
Yeah? Okay. There is one concept here. We said that a woman finds peace in her husband's house. A husband has to remind himself that the greatest desire a woman has is to sense fully that her husband is fully happy that he's married to her. A woman has a deep, deep, deep desire to sense that her husband is thrilled. He feels like the luckiest guy to be married to her. And that's part of the reason that women have so many sensitivities. When you come in and you ask your wife, where's the salt? Your wife automatically feels like, oh, I didn't bring you the salt. Wait, I didn't mean you're wrong. I didn't mean to offend you. I didn't say you did something wrong by not putting the salt on the table. I just asked a question. No. You're upset I didn't put the salt on the table. So it might not play itself out this way. But you will notice that there are things that to you are very impersonal. You ask the question, and your wife takes them personally. And it stems from that deep, deep desire to be able to hear from her husband that he feels the luckiest to be married to her. When Chazal said that a woman only finds peace in her husband's house, in order for her to find that peace, she has to get from him the message that he's thrilled to be married to her, that she's great. When a husband says, you're great, but do you mind? Then I'm not great. The second there's a but, the second you say there's something I should do different, so okay, so I'm not great. I'm not perfect. And we're never perfect. But that's what she has a huge craving for, much more than almost anything else. She wants to know that you are thrilled with her. And that's a very big challenge. When a person can master that, he can master making his wife happy. And I'll end with a story. We're over time. Next time. Say that.